This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Billy Donovan honored as a Hall of Fame inductee. And that is the only time this year you will hear Billy Donovan short on words. Good for Billy Donovan. It's well-deserving. From Providence College, where he was backcourt in the Final Four.
Great player.
Great coach in college in Florida, and never had a losing season in OKC.
Billy Donovan is a future Hall of Famer, without a doubt.
But he's done a Hall of Fame job this year with this team. I'm just saying, it's been pretty good all the way around. And, you know, too good to fail. Too good to actually be able to, you know, not be involved in a play-in run.
Too legit to quit.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
And I give our guys credit. They responded. We just lost our way, and then it was good to see our guys compete.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Time to dance, David. Bulls win! Bulls win!
Morning, Mully. Happy Thursday. It was good to see the Bulls compete. It was good to see the Bulls have a full contingent of players on the floor competing and winning and beating the Heat and taking a stranglehold on the number 9 spot in the Eastern Conference play-in standings.
They have actually, it's exactly the right word.
The stranglehold.
It is a stranglehold.
Yeah.
I know that's amusing, but it's true. And that was the big load management game, and it worked out.
Nobody called in sick.
No.
And everyone showed up ready to play. And they were rested, and they looked like they were revived. So that was a very good outcome by the Bulls.
I thought Kobe looked like he'd taken too much time off.
I think so, too. He started slow, sluggish.
He did.
He said the other night he was going to let the game come to him like he typically does, but I, at one point, was thinking, okay, it's time.
Game. It's time to go get the game.
It's time. Kevin Huerter, thank goodness, started fast.
Kevin Huerter had 10 points in the first quarter.
He was really attacking the offense and really going after
hitting
things aggressively.
Shots. Yeah.
Hitting big shots.
Good.
Then Vooch gets his typical double-double. You look at the way that Josh Giddey continues to just meet the moment and I think exceed expectations. I did not think that when the Bulls got him from Oklahoma City that we would be talking at the end of the year about a guy who has the second highest number of triple-doubles in a season since Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that's pretty
incredible. It's incredible.
He's had a great year.
He's had a great year.
He didn't start the year all that well, but boy, he has really improved as the year has gone on. He's still a young guy, and you want him here for a long time.
So you do.
We'll see. He is
an innate rebounder. He seems to have a knack for just these offensive rebounds, and he's around the ball all the time. And when the offense runs through him, the ball moves.
He will fit on the Joker's team.
Well, if the Joker wants to come to town.
I thought we sold that yesterday.
There was a Nikola Jokic in the building last night. You know that. Oh. You could say without being wrong that Nikola Jokic visited the United Center on Wednesday
was
night.
That, like his cousin? Who was it?
It's at the end of the Heat reserve player.
Oh, right. Right.
Same name.
They got another guy.
Just saying. Factually correct.
Not the same player.
No. Yeah. Not the same player. And just factually correct.
And
same
the Bulls
name.
Would be likely to wind up with him if they tried to get the Joker.
That'd be one of those deals where they try to sign him so that then he tries to come because he wants to play with his long-lost cousin, right?
If that were a possibility.
Like the Sox did, right?
I'd go do that.
Brother-in-law.
But if you went to the Bulls game last night, if you went to see the Bulls in the Heat, you could go home saying, I saw the Bulls win, and Jokic was here.
I loved Jokic's game.
I loved his game.
Not really. It was good. It was a good win, and they got it done. And just a few games left, but they are in a – I guess they could still move up, but they're likely locked into the
I don't think they want to move up.
No.
That seemed to be the takeaway. I can't wait to talk to Casey Johnson at 725 because it looks like now they will be hosting a home game.
Yes.
Next Wednesday, same two teams, same time.
Yeah.
I don't know about same time, but same place. And they're guaranteed that, and if they win that, then they have to win again against the loser of the 7-8 game.
Yes.
So I think that maybe the Bulls felt like that was a clearer path to the playoffs. By hosting?
Well, I think the Bulls understood they weren't going to beat a team that's better than them in Cleveland. And frankly, they're not going to beat them if they get to that
but
spot.
But that's not even before you get to that
just
point.
Saying.
Don't you think they must have thought that they had a better path, a clearer path to the playoffs playing twice rather than winning that 8-7 game?
Well, I think they're
beating the Magic.
I think they're of the understanding that they're more likely to be able to lock into a home game over the Heat than they are to be able to jump three teams, basically. They're just not going to do that at this point of the year. And Miami, they've been going back and forth with, but now they are ahead of Miami, and they have the tiebreaker against Miami. So it's just they've sealed that spot. As far as I can tell.
But don't you want that eighth seed, though? They still got a chance for it. Don't you want that? Because then it gives you two chances.
I would want that chance.
Yes.
But it doesn't appear the way they approached the Cavs
game. Then you can lose and still get in.
They wanted it because you could have handled that game a little bit differently than you did. It seemed as if it was a contradiction to everything that they had talked about. We don't need to revisit that, but that's why it stood out. It didn't make a lot of sense unless they were strategically trying to stay in the ninth spot, host that game, and take that path to the playoffs. But wherever they end up and whoever they end up playing, if they advance, they need to thank Tyler Hero. It was give him a hero's welcome when they see him next Wednesday, because what he was thinking when he took the three could have taken the lineup, or the layup, and here's what it sounded like.
114-109 Bulls with 52 seconds to go. Bill, how do you play this now? Do you play it out? Do you foul? What do you do?
Well, they're going to play it out right now, but they're running out of possessions. Miami
Hero with the strip and a steal with a pull-up topside three. No. Rebound, Herter. Oh, my. Herter races over the timeline. Herter in the paint. In the right corner, a three by Madison. Yes! Onions, baby onions, timeout, Miami. Mattis Bacelis, the rookie with big time onions. You got to love him.
You got to love him. Huge swing there.
Oh, it's a huge swing.
Tyler Hero steals the ball.
Yep.
Could have had a layup to cut it to three with about less than a minute to go.
Yeah.
If you're in the NBA, that's a lifetime. That's an eternity. That's a long time to come back. But if you hit it, if you stop and you pull up from behind the three-point, you better hit it.
Well, you better hit it.
Because you're playing hero ball.
But he also is the kind of guy that believes he can hit it. He believes any open three is his shot. So I think it's understandable.
Basketball IQ.
Well, I would argue that for him, he may feel like the open three is as good as a layup.
He's an all-star, but he's not Steph Curry.
But he's a shooter, and I agree with that. I just think he was trying to make he got the steal, and he was trying to make like a huge play, and then you end up getting Matas with the three, and that was the end of the game. That was the dagger.
Yes,
for
it
the
was.
Whole game.
No that question. Was the dagger, as Chuck said, and good for Matas that he was able to deliver it. But he got some help because that was a little brand of heroism.
That you actually right, David, all the way, because the fact is, you mentioned Curry a little bit, that yes. He's not Steph Curry,
yeah.
But the fact remains that this is the new NBA now. Now it's threes over twos, because if you go before the Curry day, you're probably driving and taking that two.
Yes.
Now you're going for the three, which is just crazy.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
I know he wasn't defended. I know he didn't have anybody there, but there was a clear path to take an easy two. And then you take your chances.
Right. And that's a long time in the NBA. That's a long time.
Several possessions. So right. instead of being up three with a big possession and maybe you're feeling a little bit tight and yes. anxious, the Bulls go down and they hit the three from Matas and they're up eight.
Yeah.
What a swing.
It was a huge swing.
That was the game.
That was it.
That was the end of the game. It was all over.
Right there. But it was a good – I mean, the Bulls won. You know, they accomplished what it was they set out to do. So we can second guess, et cetera. But I think I think you're right. I think they decided that was the preferred result. So that's what they went for.
Giddey has seven triple-doubles now.
Yeah.
Seven. They have three more games. He could end with – well, if he plays in the last couple of games, but he could conceivably still end with 10 triple doubles.
He could end with 11.
No,
what?
Well, I guess maybe if you count the play-in game that nobody counts.
Yeah.
He could
keep going.
The play-in stats are actually, they don't, it's like it never happened. Did you see though this year?
That's so strange.
In terms of Bulls history, but Josh Giddey became the third NBA player this year to reach 1,000 points, 500 rebounds, and 500 assists. The other two, LeBron and Luka.
Yeah, I knew Luka was one.
That's I'm sorry, not Luka. LeBron and Jokic.
Luka.
Not Luka. I had Luka on my mind because of the 45 that he put up.
Well, I had him on my mind because of the tears from him getting choked up. That was a kind of amazing. Did you happen to catch any of that stuff?
Oh yeah.
And then maybe the best thing is Nico Harrison. Like he goes to the line at one point, and there's like utter silence, and the crowd just starts chanting "Fire Nico."
And JJ Redick's team will get the third spot for Dallas, a win tonight, and they'll clinch a play-in. The Lakers still can land anywhere from 3 to 8 in this wacky Western Conference. So this is an enormous game for them. For their playoff hopes.
That's got the whole crowd saying "Fire Nico" there. And he apparently is standing in the tunnel. It was the owners didn't want to pay. Why am I being dragged into this?
They've got to fire him now.
Well, the crowd demanded it.
There's very little wiggle room. And it's hard to imagine them moving forward with him making every key decision. When he has no more credibility in that market,
none
in that city, and for that fan base.
Oh boy!
And Luka rises to the occasion after tearing up with a 3-minute video tribute. He goes out and scores 45 points through the tears.
How many did he have in the first half? He just came out on fire. He said that he hadn't slept the night before. He needs to go to bed now. He's like exhausted. He was emotionally exhausted. He was all, you know, kind of being back in Dallas.
Well, sleep deprivation will do that to you.
That'll mess you up.
That'll mess you up.
Let's have a long talk about sleep deprivation.
Let's do that.
Since we're all here at 5:43. We've been here too long.
Listeners can relate. There's some listeners out there that can relate. That's why they're up.
That's right.
Why I think they're listening.
Well, yeah, that's
can't sleep.
Yeah,
trying to have us help you put you to sleep.
There you go.
That should be our motto.
That's very nice.
But Luka with 45, huge. The Bulls, they did what they needed to do, and I feel like now they're going to probably beat the Heat next Wednesday night back in the same place and take their chances and get into the playoffs. Would that be something?
Be pretty good.
More playoff basketball. Does that first round series excite anybody if they get in there?
No.
Okay.
I was just thinking, well, they could always know. But those are the games, you know, Billy said it again last night, what he told us, that those are the games that young guys need.
They're growth opportunities.
Exactly right.
I don't think there's a bad thing about making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage of the draft lottery percentage game, there's no downside to making the playoffs.
And like after what happened in the NCAA tournament, who wants Cooper Flagg anyway?
Yeah, right.
Don't you just
see
flex on that,
that's
one?
That's the kind of unfair characterization he's going to face now that he missed that fadeaway jumper.
Maybe he should stay in college, not get any money.
Maybe he will.
Maybe he'll get enough money to stay.
Maybe he'll stay. I don't know why he would.
Be a mistake.
Yeah, I think he probably would.
Yeah.
Be making a mistake if he stayed. I don't think he will. So
why would he stay in college? It was a rhetorical question. I thought Dustin was going to jump in with an answer.
I'll go ahead. I'm open for suggestions. Is there any legitimate reason why he would stay at Duke? You make $5 million in the NIL, but you are guaranteed a lot more. What's he doing?
Forget it. It's just he's doing the see no evil, hear no evil.
Oh.
He's doing the statue.
Speak no evil.
Speak no evil.
Okay.
I was joking because he answered a rhetorical question while we were trying to break the other day.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I forget that. Once that happened, it was like history to me.
To you.
To me, yeah.
It will live in infamy.
Things stay with me.
Okay, sorry.
I'll get over it 1 week or two.
or a year.
Well, at least 15.
Oh, boy, the Cubs.
It'll be part of the roast.
Oh, I can't wait for the roast. So the Cubs, that was a bad day.
You know, they
tough
just,
day for Cub lefties.
Yeah, that's fair.
Cub day for the lefties. Shota didn't have it.
No.
Steele doesn't have it. And now who's going to?
Who's coming?
Replace him in the rotation.
We'll get into it.
Justin Steele, 15-day.
Yes.
Injured list, tendonitis in your left elbow. If you're a pitcher, this just in.
Yeah, not good to have tendonitis in your elbow.
This is tremendous insight here. If you are a left-handed pitcher, it's not good to have tendonitis in your left elbow.
And if you're a baseball player, it's not good to play for the White Sox. Score has learned.
Oh, boy.
Did you see what happened in the Sox game?
How could you not?
The Peloton Pounder pulled up with a paralytic problem.
Well, if he does that again, he's going to be the Peloton plotter. It felt bad for Mike Tauchman. I mean, we've all been there, trying to just finish.
Yes.
Finish the route, finish the run. Can't quite get past the finish line. You stumble, you fall. Maybe you break your phone. maybe you skin your knee.
Do you not find it? Like, bemusing, let's put it that way, that a guy that never had that kind of problem on the north side comes to the team that can't run and immediately comes back from an injury.
You think it was a Sox thing?
I wonder.
Here's what I wondered first.
La Russa curse.
Here's what I wondered first.
Don't run so fast.
The guy who came back from a hamstring injury, who had missed 2 weeks, right?
Yes,
this is his second or third game back. If you knew that he was compromised and you knew that he was representing, the tying run?
Yeah.
And if you're his manager, should you have pinch run for him in the ninth inning?
You know, I mean, yes, in retrospect, but...
Not in retrospect.
I'm just saying, if you have a player that has been medically cleared to return, I think you're not supposed to anticipate he'll pull up lame around third base.
Yeah, but you have to...
I hear you.
Anticipate, you guys can be
Murphy's
medically
law.
Cleared to return,
right.
And you still keep an eye on them because you know that they're not 100%. Mike Tauchman clearly was not 100%.
And he's not going to be for a while.
That looked like it's going to linger.
That looked
linger.
Like it's going to take some time. Yeah. So now you got Benintendi on the IL.
They're professional hitters. They're professional players are going Tauchman. Down.
Yeah. But, you know, don't worry because they'll bring up someone.
So you don't think that
not one of the guys you're hoping they'll bring up.
It didn't cross your mind at all that they should have pinch run for him?
You know, honestly, I was too busy, like, kind of, it was more of a mad chuckle of like, you know, oh my God, well, there we go. Like, I was more of a babbling buffoon.
It was finding another way to lose, unfortunately.
Well, that's what it felt like. But that's the White Sox. They're losing a lot. Is anyone paying attention? They're not doing as well as you'd hope.
Well, 7 losses in a row now, I believe. They started 2-2 and they're 2-9.
Yeah.
So you can do the math there. He was coming back from a hamstring strain, knowing that you need to count on the guy standing on second to score from second on a base hit, I would want my fastest possible player on that, on the base paths. But unfortunately, didn't happen.
They should have shown Will Venable more tape.
They get the finale today against the Guardians. Jonathan Cannon back on the mound.
Yeah.
This afternoon. Afternoon game.
I would say that Sean Burke didn't start the game particularly well, but boy, he got better. He found the strike zone the second inning.
He got better.
Yeah.
Small consolation.
No.
Got to start winning some games.
Yeah.
Got to start winning some games. Did you see this thing of just looking at the highlights of when, back to the Cubs?
Of the shared hot dog?
Yeah. What's that all about? That was super odd.
It almost looked like it was, you know, people in a commercial or something. It was just too, it was too close to the screen, too.
You think it was scripted? Reality television?
I first saw it with Dan Weider texted it out, I think. What is this? And then there were some comments. They were on the score. I know, but I just looked at it.
Weren't they on the afternoon show?
That seemed like that's why they did it.
Shane tracked him down somehow?
Again, it's like you wonder how hard it was to get a hold of him. Maybe they were on the guest
line. Had a publicist?
I think it looked that way, didn't it?
You thought that
was a sincere couple of people eating a dog instead of watching the game? Is that really love? Do you think that's love?
Well, you know how I feel about hot dogs.
Okay. So it's like my boyfriend gave me his gum during lunch period. Like, we kissed and he slipped his gum into my mouth. Now I'm chewing his gum. Ugh! Oh, I'm going to eat a hot dog. What do you put on this thing?
It sounded like from what I read that it was either their third or fourth hot dog of the day.
And they ate them all that way?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Or they were sharing one. It just seemed to be, the details are fuzzy and sketchy.
You know, I unfortunately grew up with two older brothers. And like when I eat, I kind of put like an arm around my plate like I've been in prison because I know someone's coming for something on my plate. Like I don't want to share food.
But clearly wasn't that kind of situation. It was a,
oh, with love.
It was distracting. And from what I understand, I was listening to the radio call. I was not watching the game, but they brought attention to it on the Marquee Sports Network,
Everyone
I believe.
Everyone brought attention. It was all over the bloody country.
Okay.
It
sorry.
Seemed planned.
It did?
I don't know.
Viral moment.
Maybe I'm too suspicious.
An orchestrated viral moment.
Who wants to eat a hot dog like that? You don't.
No, I wouldn't eat a hot dog like that. I would eat a hot dog at Wrigley Field. Unless I were trying to lean into the bit.
Well, I would eat a hot dog at Wrigley Field, but I don't know that I think I would like surreptitiously eat a hot dog. I don't feel like I want to
Yeah, explain that one.
What do you mean?
The word.
Oh, forget it. Forget it. I wouldn't publicly be out.
Like, all right, so you think that was a fraud? You think that was...
I mean, it just seemed like it was a little too cutesy. The seats were too good.
Kind of like a meet cute. It's going to be the start of a movie.
I felt like where they were sitting, scene. They could probably afford two hot dogs. That's how I felt.
They did have pretty good seats.
Do you want one? Because I'll buy you a hot dog.
It was pretty cold.
I won't eat a hot dog with you. But I will buy you one. I will go and get you a hot dog. You can have your own hot dog if you want a hot dog. No, I just want a bite of yours. No,
it just seemed kind of like, yeah, that is much.
Not, yeah, I'd rather buy you a hot dog than give you a bite of my own.
Mm-hmm. It was quite the popular scene, though. It was all people could talk about.
If that becomes a thing you do at the ballpark, if that replaces the beer snake. I don't know, man. I don't think I can handle that. Dustin.
You didn't like that very much, though.
The beer snake?
Yeah.
There was a pandemic on. I mean, I don't know if anyone noticed.
Fan of the beer snake.
Not when people were, like, coughing up their lungs and then having their backwash poured over your head. No, I wasn't a fan.
Pandemic's over, pal.
Okay, but I'm just saying, when that was ongoing.
Breaking news.
I couldn't help
but
notice.
Well, we need to get to the bottom of this.
We got about $6,000 worth of beer cans over here.
If this was orchestrated, I feel like a lot of people were duped.
Well, see, there you go.
And we probably fell for it. The score probably fell for
it.
Did
you enjoy it? I mean,
no, I didn't have much of a reaction to it. I just know it created a little bit of a stir. Looked into it a little bit. I was not. I neither enjoyed it nor did it disgust me.
Dustin, did you enjoy it or were you disgusted by it?
I shrugged my shoulders, honestly.
Brandon,
I had more on the field issues.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't understand why it went so viral, but whatever. Yeah. It is what it is.
That's a man who can drink his own beer bat without any help at all.
Well, the beer bat, no, that's another story. I did. Well,
first, you can almost afford a hot dog. It's a whole other thing if you can afford a beer bat.
Yeah, living a better life.
Talk about bougie.
They were throwing popcorn in each other's mouths too.
Is that true?
That's 219 Texter says.
Well, maybe we'll do that at the party you're hosting.
David will be doing that.
Performance stage.
Don't waste your popcorn throwing it in somebody else's mouth.
You know, I mean, here's
put
the
it
problem.
In your own. Stuff it
if
in your own.
It's got bacon grease on it. It's not hitting the floor.
No.
The problem with sharing stuff like that's just wasteful, isn't it? Like at some point, hasn't someone told you that there are people starving?
They're eating it, though.
Well, they're
consuming it.
But they're throwing it at each other.
Oh, well, that's popcorn.
But I'm just saying, the problem with that is that the guy catching it, like if you let one bounce off your tooth, it puts so much pressure. You can go ahead and throw a popcorn, but it's left to me to catch it.
It's popcorn. It's popcorn. If one hits the ground, I think we're going to live. You're not going to end world hunger by conserving your popcorn.
There we go. Write it down. David on board with Benny the Bull dumping popcorn on people.
No. Saw him last night. We don't have to talk about
that. Did you just give him a dirty look?
Just give him a dirty look. He had the silly string out. Get away from me.
All right. We've got a lot to get to. Pick six next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Are they done with the hot dogs yet? You're stars. We love you.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
All right, gentlemen, are you willing to chalk up Shota Imanaga's second worst start of his Cubs career to a bad weather day? Why didn't they give him the seven-run support they're known for of late? Are you concentrating on another series win instead of a bad day at the office?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I thought Shota didn't have it. When he first came out, I thought, well, yeah, I mean, what was it? The first three hits were two on the warning track between a home run. I mean, holy cow. And I thought, wow, the ball is going to be really flying out of the park today. But it only did for one team, right? So you had to kind of reassess things. I'm worried about the Cubs, you know, because the steal thing has you worried. Run scoring sustainable? It was a cold day. It was a bad day at the office. You don't get too hung up on it. But you had, you know, arguably your best pitcher go off the boil in the game. And then, you know, the guy that you thought was your best pitcher going on the IL with an elbow. It just, the combination of that made you kind of, like this, you know, you gotta talk it through. You got to figure it out. You got to worry about the future all of a sudden. So I liked it better when they were playing in Sacramento and scoring bunches of runs. It seemed like more fun. But you won the series, you're moving forward, and there's very little you can do about any of it.
Well, Craig Council talked about after the game about moving on. That's all you can do. You have to kind of flush it. I feel like the day off this time around could actually help. Usually I'm like, get right back on the horse and get right. I think a day off, head west, the weather has to be better in L.A.
Yep.
Right? It can't be worse than it is here right now. I wonder if there was a little issue between the ears yesterday for Shota. Not only the weather, but I wonder if the injury news to his lefty counterpart in the starting lineup, Justin Steele, had anything to do with it. Again,
Elaborate.
When that news came out, I felt even stronger about what I had said on the air that you said was the worst take of the day, maybe the worst take of the week.
No, you,
which was to
you,
skip his start.
You
push him back.
You claimed this will be probably be the worst claim of the day. So don't say that anyone blamed it but you.
I doubled down on that, but I don't understand how Justin Steele's injury would affect Shota Imanaga's effectiveness.
Because even the skipper said that there was a high chance that the cold weather had something to do, played a part in the injury. And I think maybe he was thinking about injuring his arm instead of thinking about pitching his game. That's possible, David. That's human nature. Don't tell me that that's not possible.
It's unlikely, given a guy who's never really been anything except for locked in and whose mentality and psyche on the mound we have celebrated. So I don't think there's a connection between A and B. I also think that when you hear Justin Steele say that he was coming to the park expecting to start work on his next start, it wasn't something that kept him up the night before. So I am going to trust the fact that Justin Steele has been through this before, and this is something that he seems to go through every year. One way or another, it's an arm issue. He sits down, we overreact, and then he's fine. I think I'm going to take the conservative approach this time. I'm not going to overreact to missing maybe two starts, possibly the Cubs can find breaks in the schedule to make that not hurt as badly as it might. And it is still April. So I think they're doing the smart thing. If Justin Steele feels like he probably could have kept going, it tells me he doesn't fear that there's something seriously wrong. I don't think there's any connection between what happened to Justin Steele and the news of the day with Shota Imanaga, who was locked in and ready to go. This happens to guys who might not be as accustomed to pitching in 35-degree wind chills. And Shota had a bad day. He's entitled. He has been carrying the staff for the year that he has been here. And I think if you look at Jordan Wicks being able to maybe come up and take a start, maybe two, they're fine. They're going to be fine. I think they need to be fine because you don't want to put any more pressure on your bullpen. That was my biggest concern, was that if this taxes the bullpen by taking someone out of there, like Colin Ray, for instance, then you start to worry, because the bullpen, to me, much shakier, less than the starting rotation.
I understand the question.
How bad is it for the Cubs that Justin Steele is going to the injured list with that left elbow tendonitis? What should they do to replace him? Does this explain a little about his less than sharp first 2 weeks?
Very similar answer to the first question, because the sharpness wasn't there. The last start was better. The first couple were iffy. And you wonder if he's been dealing with this throughout the spring. You wonder if this is just something he needs to get past to start the season. A little rest might help. I do like the idea of Jordan Wicks. I'm not committed to the Cade Horton idea. When they bring Cade Horton up, I hope it's for good. I hope they have a plan for him. I don't know how he fits. I hope there's not an injury that they have to fit him in or go to him at all. But I don't know how he will fit in a rotation that has veterans except for Ben Brown. Maybe he's the Ben Brown replacement at some point this season. But I don't want to bring up Cade Horton if he's going to be returned to Iowa at some point in time. So if you are just looking for spot starts here or there, somebody who might be used as a reliever once Justin Steele does come back, and you do expect him back, Jordan Wicks, to me, makes the most sense because he is a lefty. You want to keep that lefty-righty balance. You want to keep three lefties in the rotation. So that would make the most sense to me.
Yeah, Jordan Wicks makes all the sense in the world. This first time around, depending on the matchups, maybe it's a Colin Rea opener type of thing. Have we heard anything about Javier Assad? Have we gotten an update on him? His oblique, his lingered, haven't heard a whole heck a lot. You know, again, they have depth. The Cubs do have starting pitching depth. But I think the first time through, it'll be one of two guys. It'll either be Colin Rea or it'll be Jordan Wicks in place of Justin Steele.
Well, I wonder, you know, couldn't J-Mo go on Sunday? Just given the turnaround, couldn't you kind of skip Can't you buy more time before you have to decide what you're going to do? Just because he's scheduled to pitch on Sunday, doesn't, obviously he won't be available, but it doesn't mean you can't get past one start if you were so inclined because of the off day today.
Right. And to your point, Mully, they've got the next two Thursdays off.
Right.
This Thursday and next Thursday are days off. So you're right. There's some wiggle room there. I think you're onto something.
So we'll see, you know, how they decide to deal
with
it.
They like those rest days, though. They like the extra rest days during the early part of the season. That's why they're so valuable, because the schedule is so agreeable.
But I think it's, you know, you wouldn't have to stretch out Rhea, right? He's kind of ready to go. He could give you five innings on Sunday if you needed it, and then you could get to your bullpen and see how things went. I think he's probably the guy that is the next man up if you're going with that before you have to start dipping in to the minor leagues. I mean, they could, like I said, you're right. They do value those days, and they know it's a very long season. But I just think they could get by for one trip through the rotation and then make a decision.
Sunday Night Baseball, it's a big moment, big stage out in L.A. That's where stars are made. That's where stars are born. Who's going to pitch?
L.A. or Sunday Night Baseball?
Both.
Okay. Is Boo going to do TV or radio then?
I don't know.
That's another really good question.
I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
He's working
now.
The game. That's for sure. Okay. Fear not.
Maybe he'll do a simulcast. What's your take on the White Sox putting Andrew Benintendi on the 10-day IL with a left abductor strain, retroactive to the 7th of this month, but do you believe he'll be back in just over a week? Any thoughts on how long this will take, and why did the Sox pick Greg Jones from AAA Charlotte to replace him? Don't they have anybody better?
That's so mean to Greg Jones. We're just waiting on a bunch of guys that are supposedly on the way, but
who?
It's too early. The Birmingham Barons.
Oh.
And Moss.
The whole busload?
Yes.
The whole busload? Who's that?
Their pitching staff.
The Birmingham Barons.
Everyone. They just bring them all in. Bring them
Take
all
them
into
to
my
dinner head. At Wings and Rings and call it a day.
There you go.
Whole busload full of them.
You know, the Benintendi thing, an abductor strain, those take a while, don't they? Do you have any faith that he's going to be back in 10 days, whatever, 11 days? No, I have none. He's going to have to come back, and then he'll be out long enough. It's like a 3-week, 4-week type of deal, and then it's long enough he won't be able to – he'll have to do some rehab assignment. I just – don't even get me started, because – now that the Palatine Pounder, what'd you call him? The Palatine Plotter? The Palatine Paralytic?
He runs like that, he risks getting a new nickname, the Palatine Plotter. Oh, okay. I don't want to tag him that, but once he was tagged out yesterday, that's what came to mind.
I mean, I've just seen too many Sox players. I've seen too many Moncada's, Aloy's. Don't start. It seems doesn't matter who you are, how good you look 1 year, you join the South Side and the curse hits you. So, yeah, I would say the Benintendi curse is on, and the Plotter curse, whatever you call him, whatever you've renicknamed him. Help.
But what's interesting, this Greg Jones is a backup shortstop and backup outfielder. Right.
He's from Tampa,
so like a Swiss
or something,
Army,
right?
Swiss Army knife kind of guy. I mean, and
so
now,
why is he not in the majors right now? Because he doesn't hit his weight.
Add on to the fact, Mike Talkman to Benintendi, is Benintendi going to want to rush? You know, so now you're going to need another guy. I mean, the Greg Jones move was made because of Benintendi. What are they going to do now about Mike Talkman? Now you got to go. You got to get another guy deeper. I mean, are we going to see Lenin Sosa? How far down might they go?
Colas.
I don't know what they're doing calling up this guy. It's almost like it was a clerical error, because they must have typed in another name, or do they really realize that they just called up an outfielder who in 9 games at Charlotte is hitting .129. His batting average is .129.
But isn't that because their number one prospect is hitting 0?
No. It can't be. This doesn't have to be an extenuating circumstances. There has to be a contributing factor. This is one decision. If you're calling up somebody, okay, what are we going to do here? Well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to call Charlotte, and I want you to tell him to send up Greg Jones. Is it Greg Jones, 27-year-old outfield? I want you to give us a guy who's hitting 129. He's earned his way back to the majors. Who does that?
Tell Dustin that their number one prospect is Noah Schultz, and he doesn't really hit.
But
their number one fielding prospect.
Colson Montgomery?
Yes.
Well, he's losing that status as
quickly,
we speak.
Quickly, yes. Right.
Very quickly. I don't think this has anything to do with Colson Montgomery. It apparently has nothing to do with Chase Meidroth. It has nothing to do with anything else except for the White Sox need a warm body. And I think that they picked a name out of a hat. They can possibly have thought this through and conceivably pick this guy. He's hitting 129. And they just got him like he was in spring training with the Colorado Rockies. Are they sure that this is the right Greg Jones?
The good Greg Jones.
I don't understand.
We got four of them. Which one do you?
I mean, what would you have to do to be worse than what he has been? What did he do? Did he go to sleep on Monday night thinking, yeah, I've done everything possible. I'm going to get my call up tomorrow. You're hitting 129.
He's been in the majors before. I don't know.
Okay.
What do you want?
You asked the question.
That's a fair question.
Yeah,
asked the question.
I didn't know you were going to take it so personally.
That is the voice of Casey Johnson. He's with you guys at 7:25. How did the Bulls' load maintenance loss work out in the big game on Wednesday? What stood out to you about their game versus the Heat?
Everything. Josh Giddey here, Josh Giddey there, Josh Giddey everywhere.
Apparently, he's also, if you listen to Billy, he's better than Caruso at floor diving.
Well,
did he say something along those lines?
He's definitely showing interest in playing a little defense. He certainly has a knack for getting the offensive rebound. Josh Giddey is the biggest surprise to me of this season for the Bulls. Kobe White, we kind of saw him do this before, and he has ascended to a place where I think you hoped he would get one day. Josh Giddey did not see this coming. Thought he could possibly be a pretty good player, good court vision, all the things. I didn't think we'd end this season with Josh Giddey having as many more triple doubles than any player since Michael Jordan in a Bulls uniform. So that's what stood out to me last night. Giddey just wanted this game. Herter came out aggressively, hunted his shot, and helped him in the first quarter when they came out a little sluggish. And when the Bulls don't call in sick, they're pretty good.
I'm not that surprised with Josh Giddey. I think this is what the Bulls were hoping they were going to get. And I think Billy has probably done another masterful job because I think he's taken him out because he doesn't play a lick of defense. And he's showing him, like, I understand you want to pack the stat sheet, son, but you're going to have to do it on both ends of the court a little bit. I am surprised by some of the guys, specifically Kevin Herter. Like, I thought they were basically getting salary relief and a couple of basketballs that didn't bounce very well on the United Center court. I mean, Kevin Herter can be a rotational guy. He made some big shots last night. He hustles. I'm saying he's a guy I did not expect a thing from, and I am so happy that I was absolutely positively wrong about that guy.
You know, what's interesting about Herter is he played like a guy that had been held out healthy. Like, he couldn't wait to get back on the floor. But David's right. Josh Giddey is a completely different player than he was earlier in the year. There was a time during the year where I didn't really want them to worry about bringing him back. I understood that they had made the trade and they were kind of stuck with him. And I thought, give him another year, see what he can do. Now I'm willing to say, yeah, the guy deserves to get paid. I think there are three guys on the Bulls that are the real key components of the Bulls. obviously Kobe. And we did see the breakthrough, I think, happen last year. But in terms of taking another step, Kobe. In terms of becoming such a better all-around player, Giddey. He's a really good rebounding guard. Holy God. And he's tall. So it makes sense.
6'9", right?
Yeah, he's a big man.
6'9".
And then Matas Bezelis. And I would say confidence. You've seen all three of those guys play more confidently. You have seen Billy Donovan kind of inject a certain amount of confidence into each of those three guys the way that he has played them. And I think with Herter, it's a good addition, but I think that he's a guy that probably didn't get opportunity. He was
he's playing with confidence.
He's playing with
confidence.
Confidence
is coaching. Player development is coaching related to that confidence.
You're exactly right.
All three of those guys you mentioned, Billy Donovan, put that belief in them and let their talent speak for itself.
And Herter now, instead of maybe he was used more as a spot-up shooter, and we heard him say he's more comfortable going to get his shot. I got to tell you.
He's everywhere.
He's been good. He was great.
Confidence is very sexy, don't you think?
That's a great question.
With a new coaching staff under Ben Johnson, which offensive player on the roster stands to benefit or improve the most? How about on defense?
Well, I would say you just hope it's Caleb Williams on offense. You really just hope. And on defense, you just hope that it's Montez Sweat, that he can get back to a position that he was in when he first came here. But I would say that I am not certain that will be the case with either guy. I think that, you know, I look at the Bears these days, and I think a lot about what position they need to improve the most. And I think we're familiar with what those positions are. I think they're the same positions that they kind of came into this offseason needing to improve the most. Now, maybe Joe Tooney ends up playing left tackle to open the season. If I were a betting man, that might be the guy I would wager on right now. Unless they end up drafting a left tackle, unless Will Campbell somehow falls to them or they get on a horse and go get him, I am not sure that Braxton Jones will be ready to start the season. I don't believe personally that there's enough developmental time to get Kieran Amagaji up and running. So I think they might wind up kind of doing something that Kansas City did last year. And it seems like when you look, they still have a couple of guys on the team that you might be able to use inside. You know, I wish they had brought back Pryor, but that's okay. I'm not saying it's Bill Murray, but maybe, you know, who's the guy they signed from Buffalo who's still sitting there, played three games last year? Maybe he plays to open the year. I don't know. But I think they need a left tackle, and I think they need another pass rusher.
All right. I didn't even consider Caleb Williams in my answer. It's like almost like assumed, and we know what assumed means. So good for you for saying Caleb.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just assuming he's going to get better because Ben Johnson's within 5 feet of him. But the guy that kind of got forgotten about last year, and I don't think will be forgotten this year at all, is Cole Kmet. I think Cole Kmet is featured. I think Cole Kmet.
It's a good one.
I think Cole Kmet is the guy that you are going to see. Now, Mully, you mentioned, you know, Montez Sweat. And again, we all want Montez Sweat to be better than Montez Sweat was. But they just paid a guy that better be good. Or it's going to look bad. So I'm saying, if Dayau is good, that's also going to make Sweat better. And I'm not saying they don't need another guy because you want him in waves, right? You want your pass rushers in waves. But, you know, is Austin Booker going to take a jump? Is he going to do anything? Or is this going to be a bust on Ryan Pace's, Ryan Pohl's fact sheet at the end of the day? I think it's
He's a very Cole young Komet, guy. It might take him a couple
It might take him more, but I think it's Cole Kmet on offense, and I think you need Dayau to be more of a pass rush guy that's going to also help Sweat. So I think if Dayau is what they're hoping for and what they paid for, I think it helps both positions.
I think you look at scheme and you look at guys who have not really met their potential and how Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen's scheme might help these guys do that. And so on offense, I think Cole Kmet's a good one because you see the tight ends and the Lions offense really thrive, and there are two of them, and Cole Kmet could be Sam Laporta if things go right. Fine. I think Tyler Scott is somebody we don't talk about. They also went out and got Alameda Zacchaeus, and he's a guy that could play the slot. But Tyler Scott has an opportunity. They don't have a speed element in this offense. They're looking for one. And they have somebody who could fit into that slot spot quite well if he can hold on to the football, show some good hands, and learn from his rookie mistakes. I think that could be one guy in offense. Defensively, when you start over with a new regime and a new coaching staff, everybody gets a fresh set of eyes. That's going to benefit Tyreek Stevenson more than any other player in that defensive meeting room. And the fact that Dennis Allen plays man coverage around 30% of the time, and there are only like four defensive coordinators in football that called man coverage or played man any more than he did the last several years, tells you that a guy coming out of the U who was known for his man coverage probably is going to get a second chance, a second lease on football life. So I would think that all the front line guys, pass rushers, make sense, but Tyreek Stevenson could be somebody, if he takes advantage of the opportunity and he grows up as a professional, that maturation could end up giving the Bears quite the cornerback opposite Jalen Johnson.
I think I might be more likely to take Terrell Smith over Tyreek Stevenson.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I think we should talk about it. Because you got to repair that kid.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time this morning, 8:25. Questions we can ask him as well. Who will start at left tackle for the Bears in their season opener? If you had to pick one current or future Bear player, who would it be? And do you believe the answer is obvious?
Well, I think the answer is obviously Braxton Jones, because even though he's coming off an injury, until he has a setback, there shouldn't be a reason to believe that he's not going to be ready as they expect him to be. Now, if he has a setback, it's a different story, and then it gets very interesting and bleak. The most exciting answer would be Will Campbell, but I don't know that if they're going to be in a position where if they draft him at 10, if he falls to them and they take the gimme at that position in the draft, if they're going to elevate him immediately and give him a chance to start from day one, which I think they should. If you draft a left tackle at number 10 on day one, he should be your starter. Or if you are drafting him to develop him and bide his time, you might be wasting time. But we'll talk about that if, in fact, they're able to draft Will Campbell. So I think the answer right now, as we sit here on Thursday, April 10th, to me, is Braxton Jones.
David, I'm going to agree with you. I think the obvious answer is Braxton Jones. But to your point, if the move is Will Campbell at 10, if that's what they end up deeming is the best thing to do. So if Will Campbell's on the roster, I think Braxton Jones might not be on the roster by the time we get to the first game.
Mm.
Because I do believe that the general manager is still in love with the project from Yale.
Braxton Jones won't be on the roster?
Correct.
You think he's going to get cut?
Moved. I don't think you keep him around to be the swing tackle. I think that's Kieran Amagaji's job based on where he got drafted and his contract status and all that kind of stuff. So I think if Will Carroll, you shouldn't. Here's where I'm agreeing with you again, David. If you draft Will Carroll,
Campbell,
you start him. You don't give him a year to develop. I don't think the Bears are in a position for a developmental year for an offensive tackle.
You know, I don't know that Braxton Jones will be available, like physically available. He's coming off of surgery You know, he's not.
Well, that would be new. That would be new information.
Well,
though.
But I'm saying
he's, if you're reporting
I'm not reporting that. I'm saying I personally don't know if he'll be available because he's not going to be available to start training camp. So he is a guy that you're going to be aiming toward the season opener with from the time, whether it's a week or two or a month, that he comes back to practice. And I don't know that we have any medical update on how well things are going with him. All we've been told is that he will not be available at the start of camp. That is worrisome. So I think if they draft a guy, and Membau, the guy from Missouri, we'll talk to Bigsy about this a little bit later, but I would imagine if they draft him, even though he's played only right tackle, you got to move someone to left tackle. Maybe, I talked to a guy last week who said that those positions are fairly interchangeable in the modern NFL. It's not the way that it used to be where you knew you had to have a guy who had certain he said that he thinks this kid could play on the other side. I don't know how successful that will be if you just try to plug him in at a position he hasn't played before and while he's jumping to a higher level. And isn't he young as well? So, but I don't know who's going to be available to you. But if you take a tackle with the 10th pick, I agree with you. You got to start him. You got to play the guy immediately. And I said Joe Tooney because I look at their roster, and I don't think there's any way Amagaji is going to be up and ready to go at that position. And if Braxton Jones is slow in recovery, and I'm not breaking news, I'm just stating fact when people can't start camp with a foot injury. You know, the other problem is Braxton, you got to figure out whether he's your long-term guy because he's due a contract at the end of the year too. He's running out. His rookie deal runs out. So I just think there's a lot of problems. It makes me feel like they kind of need to draft someone there and then bite the bullet and make him play. All righty, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
It's a tradition like no other. Time for us to predict the winner of the Masters. Who are you taking? Who will be sliding on that green jacket Sunday afternoon? And how confident are you in your selection?
Hello, friends. You know how much I love this time of year. And how I love this segment to predict the Masters. I know everything about the Masters. I love all that it brings to our television sets and living rooms. Bryson DeChambeau, trying out a new driver, is going to win this edition of the Masters. I can't tell you by how much. I can't tell you why. I don't even know if I care. But I will tell you that he will win.
Boy, I mean...
Do I'm jumping? I'm running to the window.
As bad as the weather has been around here, the Masters to me
looks
is
beautiful. Did you watch it?
Why I was back and forth, and after the second Shota Imanaga home run yesterday, I was all in on the par three over on the Four Letter Network. But the green grass, it's like carpet. It's a sponge these guys are walking on. If Rory's not going to win it now, then when will he win it? Scottie Scheffler hasn't been great this year. Scottie's the first favorite. Rory's the second favorite. I've got Rory. I am in a pool where you had like five tiers of golfers. You had to select one guy from each tier. And the key is you gotta find the winner. And my winner is going to be Rory McIlroy. I got him first, Mully.
Oh, you...
That's really tough because...
Brandon, will you please...
Might need to take a break while Mully mulls over his next choice. Yeah.
Brandon, can you please remove your left shoe and beat Dustin over the head with it?
And then take your right shoe.
We've had some violence break out.
put some jardinier on it. Eat it.
In the Score producer studio, Brandon is repeatedly beating Dustin about the neck.
I don't think he would do that. I don't think Brandon would do that.
Oh, I requested it, though.
I know. I think he'd ignore you. He's a pacifist.
He's a competitor.
Maybe so.
well, So is this how we're setting this up, that I can't take Rory now because he did?
You can. You can take Rory. If you believe in it, yeah, we take the same teams. We take the same guys. Just don't take DeChambeau.
But I wanted to have Rory, and I told
you
him yesterday.
You can have Rory. I can't
Rory.
Believe Dustin did that.
He did that just to
mess me up. He knows
how
it works.
He's so mean.
Yeah.
You know, I think that Rory could break through in this tournament. I think he's – did you see him yesterday with Poppy? Did you see that little highlight? His daughter, who's like just the tiniest little girl, is like half the size of the putter.
Daddy, you're
and
famous?
Then, and then she hit – Oh. She hit a shot. She just
I didn't
hit
see
it.
That.
It rolled about 2 inches, and then it gained steam, and it kept going, and she sunk the putt.
Natural.
And I got to tell you,
she's
it,
a natural.
It was sending me a message. And then whoever was with him, like, jumped up and down and kind of screamed, and then she started crying, and he had to console her. It was like this beautiful father-daughter moment.
You were going to reference, didn't she say to him at one point during the practice round, Daddy, are you famous?
She said to him at one point, Daddy, are you ever going to hit a big putt? Daddy, can you make an 8-footer when it counts? You choke artist.
Daddy, will you talk to the media after this round?
He's a good guy.
Why are these mean guys asking you such hard questions?
You know, Rory is Rory's the great story in this thing, because okay. It's the one thing he hasn't won yet. And he's 46 now. What do you mean, okay? Rory, I'll take Rory personally, but for the sake of the question, I think it's one of the guys with an S in his name. It's either Shoffley or Scheffler. You can figure out
which one. That's a big difference.
I'm taking a guy with an S, and that buys me some other players, too. I got to go through the list.
Who's your long shot?
My long shot is going to be a Spaniard.
Okay.
So I'm going.
I'm taking an Aussie.
I'm going Rory personally, but I'm going name starts with an S as the winner in these circumstances. Dustin's let me down. And then I'm going Spaniard.
All right. I'm going
got
Min.
Got a lot of S's going on.
Min Woo Lee as my dark horse, the guy who wears all the Lululemon on the course.
You love it.
So I love the Lululemon. And I think that Minwoo Lee is going to be the dark horse candidate. So if it's not DeChambeau, it's going to be Minwoo Lee.
Well, I'm kind of a Flag and Anthem guy, so I'm taking Keegan
Bradley. I love Flag and Anthem.
Isn't Keegan Bradley?
Keegan Bradley.
There we go.
All right. Keegan Bradley, too.
I think I've gone through half the tournament. I mean, certainly
have gone through half the box.
I feel confident I've gone through the box. How about I tried to give Grody some of your clothes yesterday?
Yeah, thank you.
That was hysterical.
I took them home.
Yeah. You took Grody home?
All right, we got a break.
We're getting to the break. 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall score.
We're going to take the conservative route here. You know, he had symptoms of an injury that he's experienced last year, and for that reason, you know, rather than having him focus on his next start, I think it's just best that we just back off that and make sure you know, he recovers in a really good place, and you know, we're hoping it's the minimum and he can be ready to go in a couple weeks.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. That is the voice of Craig Counsell, the Cubs manager. He's talking about Justin Steele. Justin Steele headed to the 15-day IL with elbow tendonitis, and that is retroactive to Tuesday. So he had his start, and he felt discomfort in his elbow. And they kind of made the point that, oh, it was just that one start that he felt something. So we're going to, because he had the tendonitis a year ago.
Made it sound like a precaution.
Up. Exactly.
They're getting out in front of it. Right. Now, you look at Justin Steele, and you realize that last year he only, air quotes, only made 24 starts. The last two, the previous year before that, in the kind of the breakthrough year of 2023,
yes,
he made 30. The year before that, 24. So this is more the norm for him to miss probably 5 or 6 starts that you would expect him to take during the course of a 162-game season. Is this earlier than you would like? Probably. This would be his 5th start that he's skipping. Will there be a 6th start that he skips? Let's hope it isn't anything other than routine precaution, because in April, especially under these conditions, you want to give him every opportunity to recover and recuperate. I don't want to push the panic button yet.
Well, last year it was in the season opener. That didn't he do like a hammy?
It was a hamstring.
Yes.
But he did have an elbow situation
right.
during the year, or maybe it was a forearm, however it was described.
But the missed starts were early because of the leg injury that while he was chasing a ball, trying to make a play on the field, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was what knocked him out early. Yeah. I do think that there was a blip during the season that may have created some anxiety that we were discussing, and how long would it be, and what does this mean?
Yes.
And then he was back in 10 days. So let's hope that a guy who was going to the park yesterday, anticipating preparing for his fifth start of the season, is just taking the cautious approach to what's next.
And Dustin said that he thought that Shota Imanaga pitched poorly in part because of that news.
Yeah, I think it's reaching.
I think that's a reach, but I do think that it's possible that Imanaga thought the game might be bagged, thought that there was a change. Like, just any change in routine. Well, you blurted it out.
I thought it was going to be canceled.
It was us. We did. We were unsure about it. We were hearing different things.
I just think he had one of those days.
Okay, that's good.
I'm not worried about Shota.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I mean, he's been so good since he arrived that one bad start against a very good team. They still won the series. That's the focus.
All right. Speaking of the series, the Bulls with a big win last night. We're going to talk about it next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.